Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Wizards of Ecom. This is Naomi, your host, and we're just cracking up. I just tried to make an intro of the show and yeah. You have to watch the video for this. It's like all over. My headsets were all over the place. But we're back. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show. We have today none other than my fellow wizard, seven-figure seller specializing in wholesale and brand building. And now I'm going to quote from your Clubhouse profile because I loved so much your bio. And he's okay. Like, what is she going to say?
I have no idea what I had there.
It's saying, not a guru, not selling a course or service, just here to network and share. And that's what it's all about. Sharing, networking, and sellers helping sellers. Ramon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you. No ulterior motive, just here chilling, hanging out, talking to Noemi and having fun. That's all.
Truly, truly. And careful, if he gives like wrong answers, it's on you. Okay,
no. Oh boy.
One more. All right. So as you can tell, Ramon and I know each other from the Wizards, and he's also an admin there, and he's really a very, very cool guy. And as I was saying, the reason I wanted to have him on the show is basically because he's on the same mindset as we all wizards are, sellers helping sellers. And today's topic is going to be about how to transition from wholesale to PL. And Ramon, it's the perfect person to talk about this, because first off, you are in this process right now, if I understood it correctly.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I want to transition 100%, but definitely focus a lot more on PL than wholesale.
Got it. Brilliant. And second of all, why I want you, our listeners, to know about this, that, and keep in mind things that you might have not thought about when choosing the business models, because this is what we're going to talk about. Okay, two different types of business models. What are the common practices, what are misconceptions about them, and how to prepare if you want to be in each of them, I'd say.
Well, I think as you start on this journey, most people that start on this journey, they start with retail arbitrage and they try it out and they open an account and they'll go out to a store, buy some stuff and just prove the concept, right? You just want to prove that this is actually working. You can actually make money with this. And then after that, people tend to go like, okay, but I don't want to be trying all this time. Let me just start calling people and getting products delivered to me by a wholesale. And that works fantastic. So people like me, I've been doing wholesale for about 5 or 6 years now. So it's been a long time. We kind of remain there because it works so well, right? Mm-hmm. If you're good at picking up a phone call, and striking up conversations with reps and getting them to agree to send you product that is profitable in Amazon, then it's just repeat, you know, do it again and do it again and do it again. And it's very easy to grow horizontally through a lot of different products and make a lot of money that way. Whereas private label is a little different. Private label is about growing vertically, right? You just pick your product line, you pick your niche, and you just go up and you try to find as many products. And this is something, and this is an analogy that I tend to use a lot. I don't know if you've heard me say this, Noemi, but to me, wholesalers are like hunter-gatherers. Mm-hmm. We're constantly out there finding the next kill, the next meal, right? You go and one day you come back with elephant, and the next day you come back with berries. And the next day you try to find something, but you're constantly out there doing and finding stuff. Whereas the PLer is a farmer. He's looking at a seed and he's making sure, is this the right one? Is this the one that's going to get me all the crops that I want? Is this the right season for this crop? And then you start watering and you sit there and you wait for the crop to come to you. So that kind of works in my mind, because as a wholesaler, you're constantly looking, what's next, who's coming, what's the next supplier, And as a PLer, you're thinking, what is that next product in my niche that's going to grow my brand? So those two type of mentalities, they work great. They both make fantastic money. But you need to, in my view, you know, the reality is private labelers, or they tend to make higher profits, higher margins than wholesalers. And I'm looking forward to just simplifying. Instead of having 11,000 SKUs, you know, just having 30, 40, right? That part of simplifying towards private label is something that I believe I'm ready for. And I'm going through that change right now.
That's brilliant. And by the way, before starting recording and everything, I was saying Ramon that I'm going to give him the hard questions. Well, you know what? This was my first question, by the way, which you totally perfectly answers. Like, what's the difference between the two models? And I think that we are just like good to go to the next question.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Wow.
Yeah, it's perfect.
I'm ahead of you.
Yeah, you are. All right, so we were talking about PL, wholesale. I think, what are the commonalities and differences between the two business models?
I mean, I think wholesalers, there's so many things that they already get right that they could apply towards private label. Like, you already know that you can sell in Amazon, which is already a big enough step, right? You already have the confidence to say, there's something here that is going to help me. They already know how to fulfill product. Send it to Amazon. Let Amazon do FBA. They already know how to price competitively. They already understand how to forecast correctly. You got to make sure you have product in stock and you don't have too much product, because then Amazon is going to give you problems. So all of those things that we learn in wholesale, they completely apply towards private label. And the problem becomes is it's either one or two reasons as to why people have a problem making that switch or doing both. It's either fear, like they're afraid, like, how do I do this? How do I start? And they feel so comfortable doing wholesale and making money that they're like, I don't think I can do this, right? Mm-hmm. Which was probably, you know, for me, for the longest time, the reason why I didn't make the jump. I've been doing this for 5-6 years. I understand private labels tend to make better margins. But I didn't do it because I'm like, this is so comfortable. I'm good here. I don't need to take that next step. Right. And so that stopped me. But the other part of the equation is just overconfidence. People think like, okay, I'm gonna do private label. I've been doing wholesale, I'm gonna do private label. I already know a lot of the things that are necessary. Let me just launch a garlic press. Mm-hmm. And of course they crash and burn, and they figure, oh, private label is too hard, I'm never doing this again, you know. So those are the two reasons that I feel like people just can't get themselves to go up to the next step. And there's ways that you can just grow through from wholesale to private label that are going to help you get there in a fashion that is going to be conducive to you being successful at it.
You're bringing up a super interesting point. The second one, it was like releasing a garlic press. Now, this would be like, I would translate it into releasing a very easily, I don't know, a very common product here. Do you think that's happening because they are, or is this sentiment of, I am super aware of my skills and I can make it work and it doesn't matter of the product that I'm bringing? Or why do you think that people are missing that? Because obviously in wholesale, you wouldn't bring this next, you know, the next product, me too product.
But the thing is, in wholesale, you see a garlic press that is selling well, that you have access to, that you can make money, and you automatically buy it. You feel confidence. You feel confidence because this product is already selling. You have the steady supply for it. Let me just get some of that product and send it in. So you think, well, if I get a garlic press from China and send it in, that's going to sell the same way. But it doesn't work that way. Here's a fact, right? You know, we keep talking about how amazing an opportunity and a marketplace Amazon is, and it is. We keep talking about how in 2020, Amazon added like 50 million new Prime users or whatever, like a huge number. And it's true. But one thing that people don't really mention is the fact that page one of each one of those keywords hasn't grown. It's still 30 to 45 products. So if you want to be another product that goes into a highly competitive niche and you think you're going to get sales on page 2 and 3 and 4, it's not going to happen. You're just going to waste your money. So the wholesalers think in the terms of like, this has high BSR, this is good enough, right? People must be interested in this product. Let me create a product that may be the same, maybe slightly different, maybe prettier, and let me send it in, and that's good enough. It's not. The reality is there is a bigger marketplace. It's true. It keeps growing. It's true. But you have to find those niches where there is a higher demand than supply, right?
Yeah.
Because if you just go towards the garlic presses and the barbecue gloves and the diaper caddies, you know, you're just gonna crash and burn. So how do you find those niches? That's the question, right? Like, how do you find those products where there are keywords that seem to have a lot of search volume, but when you click on the keyword, most of the products have low demand, low supply rather. And how do you know that? Low review counts. So that tells you this is a keyword that you're going to be able to, you know, potentially put a product out there that is going to be competitive. And that is one thing that wholesalers are not really thinking about. They think, let me get the fastest moving product and let me send in, you know, a share or the portion of the products that are going to get the sales and just make money that way. And it's easy. It is easy. Just rinse, repeat, do it over and over again. Building out a brand is a lot harder, but it's not that much difficult, right? You just have to just pace yourself, start learning a few things little by little. And one of the first things that I tell people that ask me would be just start by creating a listing. Start by creating a multi-pack of a product that you already sell, right? Create a variation. Variation multi-pack. You sell a shampoo, a set of 2 shampoos, for example. And it's not because it's going to be like the most revolutionary idea in the world, but it's because it starts getting you in this mentality that it can be done. It starts getting you thinking, okay, wait, I did this. I'm getting sales of 2-pack, something that I created. Oh, okay. That's something, right? Like, it's just, let's move forward towards this idea that it's not something you should fear, which was probably my case. I was just like, this is too hard. I don't want to get into this. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And then once you do that and you realize, well, this works. Okay, well, then the next step is let's just create a wholesale bundle. Get a supplier, get a product from one supplier and get a second product from that supplier or something completely different and put them together and start selling that and see if that works. You know, do you still need to do your keyword research and et cetera? Yes, you do. But it's also an easier barrier to entry because you just pick up a phone call, call one of your suppliers and you go like, okay, you know, send me 100 units of this or 50 units or whatever, a small amount. You don't need to buy 1,000 units. You don't need to buy 2,000 units. Just try it out. Maybe 25 units, whatever you think it's going to work correctly for you. Mm-hmm. And try it out. And then if that works out, then that kind of proves to you, okay, it's not just a multi-pack, a variation of something that already exists. Now it's my own product, my own idea. You're coming up with a better offer for the Amazon customer.
That's really great. I love it how you make it still easy, but achievable. I mean, achievable, but you make PL achievable easily rather than having a new product, like totally new product. And just as you were saying, just get used to the idea that, hey, this is achievable and you can do it. And if you want to go for a PL, there you go. You already know the few, like the stepping stones you already have.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, in the last year or so, like trailing 12 months, I've launched easily 30 to 40 bundles, multi-supplier bundles. And what I've learned from just failing over and over, failing forward, right? Over and over is insurmountable. Like I totally feel like I could launch anything except the garlic presses. Since I understand it's just not gonna work.
And have you sold pink garlic presses though?
I know, right? Yeah, because that's gonna be the one.
That's gonna be the pink one.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's how I started into private label. I created a wholesale bundle and I saw it was selling really well. And I'm like, well, what if I source all this product from China? So I sourced all the product from China. I got it to Amazon way cheaper than sourced from wholesale suppliers. And then I'm like, oh, wait, this is really working. So I was making so much money. Like I hit a home run from the first product that I launched. And then after that, it was a whole bunch of, you know, strikeouts and singles and whatever. But the point was, that kind of gave me the confidence to believe that it's doable, right? It's more mainly mindset and discipline. That's all it is, mindset and discipline. Just keep going forward.
Those are my two strong suits. discipline.
Yeah.
Even if discipline, it's not very, very like phrased into our circles, but that's it. Truly, it is.
It is.
All right. So we were talking about, just so we are clear here. Now you are transitioning, or you started out with PL. Is that your own product? Like you are building up, let's say this is my cup and I'm not buying it from the wholesaler, but I'm buying it from the supplier, or is this my is something totally new?
So both, right? I'm doing a lot of wholesale bundles where I create the listing and I do the keyword research. I realize that there is like that proverbial question. There's more demand than there is supply. If you can answer that question and the answer is yes, and you can get a product that is competitive in the marketplace in terms of price, off to the races, right? So I did that a whole bunch for wholesale bundles, and they're not my product. Those are somebody else's product that I just created a better shopping experience for the customer, right? So once you do that and you test it over and over, then after that, now my problem is, now again, I continue to be everywhere. I continue to think horizontally. It's not about staying in the ceramic cup, niche.
Yeah.
It's about how many different, complete, unique opportunities do I find out there where I feel like I can make money. And it's worked great. Obviously, it's not 100%. I'm not buying 100, right? It's I'm probably buying a good 300 or, not 1,000. I'm not buying 1,000. I'm probably buying 300 or something like that. You make a lot of mistakes, but every mistake is a lesson. And you just keep going forward. So you do that enough times. And then after that, you start thinking, I think I've found what I want to concentrate on. And I'm currently in the process of just looking at US-based suppliers for a product line that I want to launch. And I'm hoping that's where I stay, right? I'm hoping that's where I'm going to put the majority of my effort and my mental capacity, because I really do believe that the best way to go is private label. It's just so easy to do wholesale. It's easy.
Yeah, definitely. I also love that you're trying to see here to bring production here. That's also something we are working on. And it's like, today, it's really like a headache to bring anything from China. It's super expensive. It's not, you know, the price, it's still cheap, or it's cheaper, but everything else, it gets so, so expensive. And it's like, I think the fact that you cannot control or have less and less control is just like super annoying, And
agreed. So this is the year that I want to start private label, and it's a horrible year to start private label from China.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about, $25,000 containers or whatever. It's like just insane when they used to be 3,000 to 5,000. So I mean, I have a fantastic relationship with a sourcing agent in China. He's very responsive. He loves to work with me because we've done a lot of business together. But at the same time, if I am going to start something now and I have to deal with really, really high cost to ship this product and get it to Amazon, I'm starting to think that maybe I should just begin in the US and find US suppliers.
Yeah.
Right. I think everybody thinks that the only thing you can do in the US is beauty and supplements, right? It's not. There's other things that can be done in the US, other product lines. It's not just beauty and supplements. So it's just about finding them.
Yeah, and I also agree with you. And I also, just to add there, I think the problem until now, it was that we didn't face this issue, and now we are facing this and we have to solve it. Otherwise, it's like you are put, because like last year it was like way easier than now. And next year is going to be yet again way, way harder than it is now. So it's kind of forcing us.
Yeah, so, everybody keeps saying that next year is a year that the prices are going to normalize. I really hope so, because China continues to be the place to go to source products. But who knows, not with this prices, not with this shipping cost, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, let's not hope for the best, but let's make the best out of it. I'd like
to. That's why. It's like we were saying before, right? Discipline. I know that I want to launch a PO line this year. So if I cannot do it with China, I'm going to do it with the US or Mexico or Canada or wherever it is else it is that is going to work, period. You just keep going.
Yeah, definitely. I think to transition to the next question would be, what skills or what are the top skills that you learned in wholesale that now you're transitioning into your PL business?
I mean, for sure, the most important thing I would say that applies would be forecasting.
How do you do that?
Currently, a lot of software, right? You cannot do it with spreadsheets when you have. I've gone down a lot. I'm only managing around 5,000 ASINs right now. So it's still a
only,
lot.
But it's only.
It used to be 11,000. And I decided, wow. That's it. Let me slow down. So like only about 5,000 now. So you have to use software and you have to use systems and you have to use employees and SOPs. So that's, I think understanding how to forecast correctly is probably the best thing you can do, because you don't want to order too little and you don't want to kill your cash flow by ordering too much either, right? So finding that perfect balance is one of those things that you learn in wholesale that really applies well to private label.
Brilliant. And I love that you also like touched on four pillars, the systems, the employees, and there were two more?
SOPs.
SOPs and softwares.
Yeah, software.
Yeah, I love that. It's like a whole. So, okay, each of it, like how can you transition it into whatever you're doing now with private label?
So, if we're going to talk about it, I have, I believe, seven BAs in the Philippines. They're fantastic. I have a fantastic team. I'm very happy with them. I've gone the route a little different than other people. I've decided to hire all my VAs from one city. And because I get to invite them out for lunch once a month. I get to take them out twice a year to a retreat for a weekend. I get to do certain things that really helps when they are together in one city. So it's about building that culture, right? It's about making sure that even though they're learning so much from me and maybe they could go to another person because they might get paid a little more, they're happy where they're at. So I'm constantly trying to make sure that they're happy. But at the same time, they have to perform, right? Like anything. They have to be able to follow procedures. They have to be able to perform and show that they're doing the work that I expect them to do. As long as they do that, then it works great. And it's the same way, right? I have a sourcing brother, a research VA, that all she does is research constantly for for bundles. It's just about, okay, you know what? Follow similar procedures, but instead of wholesale bundles, what we're going to do is just try to find a product line that we think fits our needs. And our needs currently needs being possibly made in the USA, high demand, low supply, period, right? Mm-hmm. And it's worked out great. We have a few products, a few ideas, and I'm about to pull the trigger on one of them. So here's to hoping, right?
All the best to you.
Yeah.
Keep us updating. That's brilliant. And I love also the idea that you were saying, it's interesting idea to find all the people in the same. It's like you would work in a like office and it's the same people there and the same like, yeah, that totally makes sense. I actually love that idea.
I tried to get them all in an office, but I have a whole bunch of moms and they would rather just work from home. Mm-hmm. So they still get to work from home, take care of their kids when they need to, maybe work at night if it's necessary after the kids are asleep. But if I had done the office thing, they were like, we're not gonna have it. And I'm like, you know what, let me stop pushing. They still get to have that community and they still get to go out and they become friends with each other before, even though they didn't know each other, and they get invited to each other's birthday parties and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's fantastic. It creates a fantastic atmosphere.
Yeah, and it's really nice. I love that you were saying, okay, it creates a fantastic atmosphere, I think also because we just made our first VA, which is like social media, and she's like a badass.
Get work off.
She's really good.
That's what you gotta do. In wholesale, there's a lot of work that needs to get done. And if I had to do everything, I'd go crazy. So just get little by little, start getting work off of you and into this this employee.
Yeah, and also now what I'm learning is how to understand how am I am the employee, because where is the book? I am just reading the image revisited, you know, and it's like all about technician. I am the technician.
Are you serious?
I am a super technician, and it's like I am crazy technician. And I'm like, oh, that's me. So, and now, you know, when you have someone else there and teach them, it's like, it's hard also to not get into and like you do the stuff, you know? So I also love that about you. Last time when you spoke to the group, you were saying everything else, just do it. I just like to be the owner of the business, you know, and that's also mindset.
Yeah.
It's also a mindset that I personally have to learn because, yeah, as you were saying here, okay, wholesale, it was, I know the stuff, I'm comfortable with it, it's something new, but still like you're the owner and you're like overseeing everything, which I love that you said.
It's weird. I was telling you that this week I was, I'm working from home. I'm not at the office this week. And because of it, I'm not in the trenches as much. I'm not, you know, they don't come to me with questions as often, and things are working. And it makes me believe that maybe I should take a step back even more, because things are just happening without me. And it's working great. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Like, I mean, I'm also trying to build up systems. That's super important. I think it helped me tremendously. All right. So top three takeaways from each business model that you were not aware of when starting.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
I hope so.
when I started wholesale, I remember one of the very first mistakes I made is like I plopped $7,000 into an account that was sold by Amazon. And I'm thinking, it's okay. This thing is getting sales, right? Mm-hmm. So $7,000 later that were sitting there for the longest time, that was a big, big learning lesson. Don't mess with Amazon. Don't think that you're going to get much anything when they're in there. I would say that's a big one, right? That was a big takeaway from mine. And number two for wholesale, I would say relationships. You have to constantly be working those relationships. There's going to be accounts out there that are fantastic, and you're going to think, I couldn't get it open, right? I got to know. And the reality is, if you continue to grow that relationship with that person, maybe you meet them on the next time, a year from there in a fair somewhere, and you talk to them and you just hit them up and just say, like, you know, just maybe buy them a coffee or something or anything to get you to be top of mind of that person, that would be by far the best thing you can do for yourself, because we have managed to open accounts that way after a whole lot of no's. And those are the accounts that are the best, because most people hear one no and that's it, they're done. Mm, yeah. So you want to continue to try over and over. Third, I don't know how easy it scales. Wholesale scales so easily.
I don't know. For me, like wholesale is like a totally new beast. I know PL like in and out of PL, but wholesale is like totally new. So for me, it's like everything hard. So for you, it's easy. So you know what I mean?
but the thing is once you start and you start creating systems and you start getting employees and the employees start doing things for you, it's easy. You just make sure other people do what you tell them to do, and things run by themselves. Employees to pick and pack and fulfill and send to Amazon, employees to run price lists, and it becomes just automatic.
Okay, then you just gave me a really good idea then for question here, because you built up systems and it's like employees are doing things for you. Like what's one of the very common mistakes that most newbies are doing when they are just starting to branch out? Like I am the like one-man band, how do you call it? Like I'm doing everything and then I'm hiring people and then I'm trying to put together a system, and I like most common mistake there.
I think the most common mistake is that you expect your employees to be as fast as you, and you expect your employees to care about your business as much as you do. And the fact of the matter is they will never, ever, ever care about your business anywhere near as much as you do. So the moment you start accepting that, the better it's going to be. Because most people, they just get a VA and the VA messes up. And they go like, I cannot believe I taught you how to do that. And you should have known better. You're fired, right? And you hear it so often, like we kind of treat them as they don't really, you know, they're not a normal person because you're not sitting in front of them face to face. You just see them through a computer, and it's okay to treat them bad, and it's okay to fire them for one thing because you expect perfection. My employees mess up a lot. And as long as they continue to grow and continue to understand where the mistakes were made and not make them over and over and over, then that's okay. I had an employee order a $150,000 order in wholesale that was wrong. And that's a lot of money. And that hurt me a lot. And that employee is still with me. But the fact that I forgave her and she understood and she's still with me, she will be with me forever. And she will do anything and everything I ask of her because she understands that I value her as an employee enough to understand that the mistakes are a part of it. You know, just grow slowly but surely, keep growing.
Love it. And I think that this episode, like the basic topic was transitioning from wholesale to PL. I think I'm going to rename this because that's also like one of the topics, but here, like golden nuggets. So just
we're kind of going all over the place, right?
Yeah. But it's fine. I like also that it doesn't have to be just one thing because, like, you see, you just share something that I wasn't even aware that I'm interested.
Yeah, give your social media employee just leeway. It's okay. You will make mistakes, and it will be fine.
Yeah, I think that's something super important to learn. You will make mistakes, and that. It's the way how sometimes it's supposed to be. It's going to be fine. No worries.
That's right.
All right. So next question there would be, say someone with no or little experience is listening to this episode right now. Okay.
Say someone? What did you say?
With no or little experience is listening to this episode right now.
Okay.
And still not sure which model should they go for. For example, let's say, there you go. I just made up a word. let's say that they are watching a ton of like PL courses or starting their own private label. And they are also watching like the wholesale part, the arbitrage part from your experience. What's your guidance or what's your advice for them? Where should they start and how should they like
pro tips? I personally think you cannot start this business without going to retail arbitrage. You have to just go and you have to scan your first product and realize there's opportunity in holes in the marketplace, right? And you go and you start and you send and you make a tiny little bit of money and you go like, okay, this works, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have zero or very little experience, start there, but just don't stop, right? People believe that number one, that it's very hard, that they don't know what they're doing. And that if it's not perfect, it's not going to work. That's okay. You know, even if you lose money as you're starting out and you're selling products that are not profitable, at least you're starting. So after that, spend a good two, three months of trying retail arbitrage and actually actively trying, not just going once a week to see what happens, right? Actively trying retail arbitrage and then make a decision. What route do you want to go to? Do you want to do private label or do you want to do wholesale? Either model works fantastically. Both will be great. Private label, you need a lot more knowledge than you do for wholesale. That's a fact. For wholesale, you need a lot more operational knowledge. You need a lot more how to manage teams and how to scale things through processes. Because you quickly, very quickly realize you can't do it all in wholesale. You have to have employees for things. Whereas in private label, it's not so much. You can have a successful line like you do, Noemi, and not need a VA until year two, right?
Yeah, but I regret it now, you know, because what you were saying, like, yeah, running operations, you know, if I would have had that mindset, I am sure that I would have been like far, far, ahead, I would say. But in the same time, I realized that I am super passionate about learning this stuff. You know, super, super passionate. Some people are not, and some people would just outsource everything, you know. I am super passionate to learn, and like it's also like helping me up my game. And then I think, as you were saying, you can implement also the systems and employ people.
And the final answer is just constantly be improving, right? Just don't stay still. I stay still in wholesale for far too long. You just became comfortable. You comfortably supply, turn product. You comfortably provide for your family. Yeah, it's a nice business. Yeah, you grow. Okay, just add more products. But it wasn't as challenging. Private label is a little bit more challenging, right? But it's a lot more rewarding. Rewarding. That's my Spanglish coming out. Rewarding.
There you go. I appreciate that. I was just like trying to find my words too, so I appreciate that. Yeah, that's right, as you were saying. And also, like, I don't know, for me, as you were saying, trying things and comfortable, I think my follow-up question there would be, what is wrong with things being comfortable?
Absolutely nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong. I stopped feeling challenged by wholesale, and I like a challenge. I like feeling like I'm constantly learning. I may not show up to every single Wizards meetup, but I don't ever stop learning. So for a change, I started feeling like everything's just automatic, and it still is for my business, right? For the most part. I have an operations manager that basically runs all operations. I have employees underneath everywhere, and it works. There's nothing wrong with it. It can continue, but I am going to apply all my, as much as I can, of my mental bandwidth into private label and building a brand.
Yeah, I love that. And it's a challenge. I love that you are saying.
It's a challenge. It's fun. Yeah. When I started doing Jose Bondas, it was fun because it was different. You know, it got to the point where okay, what do I do next? Right?
Yeah.
And now it's like, I started doing Jose Bondas and I'm like, man, this is fun. This is exciting. I'm creating something, creating a better experience for the Amazon customer. And then after I started following the opportunity everywhere, I started realizing, if I can do this, why can't I do private label? You know, once you pick your niche and you start going vertically up and you start getting complimentary products and emailing your customers and getting them to buy your next product, it's so much easier than wholesale bundles, because you're not constantly looking for the way to launch this product again. You have a customer base and you can just go out there and just tag them.
So you're then a hunter-gatherer and a farmer as well.
There you go. I'm doing both. Currently doing both, that's for sure.
That's great. Ramon, are there any questions that I should have asked and I haven't?
I don't know. I think we went through a lot of different things, right? We touched on a lot of different topics. You prepared well for that with your questions.
Thank you. You didn't do very bad either, so it's fine.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, that is brilliant, Ramon. So as you might know, by the way, Ramon is a fan of our show, and this is why I also I'm super happy to have him on the show. So if you know, you should know because you're a fan. But if you don't know, now it's coming the three questions, four questions. I added one more question.
Four?
Four, there you go.
I thought it was two. Uh-oh.
First question. Oh, wait, first, to be respectful of your time before we wrap up, because you already know the spiel. If you choose one superpower, which one would be it?
Oh, that's definitely not one of those questions that I was expecting.
This is a new one. So that means that you're behind episodes. This is the fourth time.
Yeah, I see that. Well, good thing I know the answer to this one, because it's you think about this type of stuff. I'm a nerd at heart, right? Like I love superpowers, and I love superheroes rather. So by far, time travel. Everything out there is, you know, you can gather, you can make more money, you can have better relationships, but time goes and it doesn't come back. So if I had a superpower, for sure, it would be time travel. That's the constant that you're not getting back. So if I could do that, great.
I love it. Second question. What was a $50 or less investment you recently made into learning more about wholesale and PL?
You know, $50 is a small amount.
I know. This is why it must be a small amount.
It's a little tricky. Yeah. So I would have to say my Audible subscription. Mm-hmm. I consume so many books, and I'm constantly reading the next thing. And when it comes to just being successful, mindset is probably one of the biggest things that you can work on yourself to get yourself forward and move forward and keep going. So Audible is like, what, $15 a month? Everybody thinks, not everybody, a lot of people think, oh, that's too much. Well, I buy books all the time in Audible and I keep going because it keeps you constantly thinking, keeps you trying new things. So I highly recommend everybody just get books. I'm not a big physical book person. I don't feel like I ever have the time to a physical book, but putting my AirPods on and just listening nonstop, even in the shower, I'm listening to books. So,
so then which are your three books and why, the favorite ones?
So it's going to sound sort of boring because everybody probably has listened to this book. So The E-Myth that you just pulled out, I love that book. It's fantastic.
It's really good.
Yeah. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Again, a classic. Everybody knows that book, and it's one of my favorite books. And then one that maybe people don't know is called The Power of Habit. How to use habit to kind of retrain your brain into doing things correctly. But those are my three favorite books. And the last book I read was called Mindset. And I really liked that book. It was really nice. It's about trying to understand the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset, and how to catch yourself when you're in the fixed mindset and believing that you cannot do things that you clearly can do. We're all there at some point, and for different type of actions, and just being able to understand when you're there and how to get yourself out of it so that you're constantly in a growth mindset is interesting. You should, it was a good read.
Is this in The Power of Habit, the fixed mindset versus growth mindset, or is
this
different?
The Power of Habit is a different book. This is called Mindset. The book is called Mindset.
I think I read this one or heard, listen to this one. Do you know who the author is? It's familiar. It's familiar because I am, or he was on Rich Dad Poor Dad, the radio show or something like that. I heard about this concept of fixed mindset and growth mindset.
Yeah, that book, let me see, because I just finished it. But Carol Dweck.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brilliant. Right. And I love all the time, I love these because as you were saying, I'm piling up this, like on my to-do or my to-read or my to-listen to this, because, you know, there's so many things out there. And if you had a good experience, why not share it? You know?
Yeah. And I'm constantly trying to battle between podcasts and books, which one is the one that's going to win. And you guys always take a little bit of that time. Uh-huh. The Wizards of Econ podcast, always up there. I always, I enjoy your shows, that's for sure. Not has nothing to do with the fact that I know you. And Carlos at all, nothing at all, but yes.
And that you're also like grandfather of this kid.
Something like that.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love to hear that. And I obviously not to pat myself on the back, but you know, it's like, this is what I'm also looking for. I'm also like, just like you, I love to listen to books, and I very often like listen at 1.5, 1.75, you know.
And I listen to a book at 1x. I can't. It's like, oh no, they're talking too slow.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy. Right, right.
And now you know what? I try to, because as you were talking about systems and so on, I noticed when I don't see what I am like learning, it kind of becomes hard for me to remember everything, you know? So now I have this is like as a reference, but I would also listen to it, as you were saying, because that helps somehow.
It makes sense to have that book written out with like markers and Sharpie everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love that book.
Yeah, that's great. Ramon, it was a true pleasure to have you on the show, and I hope that you'll be back. I would definitely would like to have you back on an episode where we talk about hiring and the processes that you make and the environment that you create for your employees, because I think that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, amazing. Super brilliant. All right. Well, thank you once again. And for everyone listening, thank you so much for listening to this show. We certainly hope that we made your day and your life more pleasant and that you're going to take action. Much love to you and take care. See you Wednesday, next Wednesday. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.